हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् श्रीपरमात्मने नमः मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः इन् दि सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् three important topics which are covered, which form the subject matter of the entire Bhagavad Gita, are discussed in a nutshell. What are those three topics? Two disciplines to be followed by people of two lifestyles. And the definition of a jnani. There are three topics. Jnana yoga, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge. The discipline of karma yoga. Karma, jnana yoga, karma yoga, and a jnani lakshanam. There are three topics discussed here. When I say the topic of Jnana Yoga, the discipline pertaining to the pursuit of knowledge. Here is in the form of the unfoldment of the nature of the self. Unfoldment of the nature of the self. Atma Swarupa Vicharaha. Enquiry into the nature of the self. And the self-enquiry is not done independently with the help of the Shastram. With the help of the Sampradaya. The traditional teaching methodology. Which implies the teacher also. And here in these verses, what is made very clear is the content of I, the swarupam of I, the truth of I, the substance of the substantive I, the meaning of I is actually abstract, formless, subtlest reality. And being the absolute reality, it's absolutely indestructible. So, it is nityaha, timeless, sarvagataha, all-pervasive. So, time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. They're free from all limitations, absolutely limitless. And it is this reality of the self or reality obtaining as the innermost essence implied by the term Atma is absolutely indestructible. How Atma is absolutely indestructible, that is established here, discussed in these verses. We are going to see, and we have to take ownership of that Atma as I, Atma as a truth of I, the self, am Atma. I, the self, am Brahma. One has to claim, take ownership of the Atma as oneself. Cognitively, one has to shift from identity from Anatma to Atma. Thereby, one has to correct the error in one's perception of the self. One has to have all the wrong notions one has about oneself. One has to resolve all the wrong notions one has about oneself. Ahankara has to be resolved. So ahankara cannot be given up. To resolve one's ahankara, having the ahankara resolved means having resolved the wrong notions one has about oneself. When the wrong notions become resolved, error in the perception becomes corrected. Error in the perception of self becomes corrected. As a result of which, error in the perception of the world also will be corrected. So that from the standpoint of one's own self, one's own essential nature, reveling in the essential nature, reveling in the vision of one's own essential nature is appreciating cognitively the indestructibility, deathlessness, immortality, being one's own nature. Thereby, being free from the hold of all impurities and wrong notions from oneself, wrong notions one has about oneself, is freedom from the hold of mind, which is freedom from the mind is freedom, which is moksha while living, jivan mukti. Therefore, Bhagavan, to relieve Arjuna of his pain, affliction, suffering caused by his attachment, to relieve him of the delusion, he now unfolds the nature of this self. We come to the 16th verse where Bhagavan clearly establishes what is Sat, what is Asat. The wise people have the clear vision of what is Sat and what is Asat. In fact, Sat and Asat, meaning Satyam and Mithya, are two orders of the same reality. Absolutely, what is there is only the reality. There's no second thing other than the reality. And what seems to be there, what is as though there, is Mithya, which has no independent existence, which happens to be the appearance of what is absolutely real. Therefore, that which is understood as mithya be not countable as a parallel reality is resolved as satyam. Mithya prapanchaha is nothing but satya atma satyam brahma. Just as we say the entire ocean is water, here entire jagat is nothing but satyam brahma. Water is not the ocean, but the ocean is water. Similarly, this abstract formless reality implied by the term Atma or Brahman is not anything in the jagat, not the jagat. But is the entire universe constituted of countless number of forms, names and functions obtaining within the realm of time and space, including time and space, is nothing but Brahma. Time is Brahma, space is Brahma, all elements are Brahma, elementals are Brahma, living beings are Brahma, non-living things are Brahma, actions and functions are Brahma, will is Brahma. The laws determining the results of actions are Brahma. The order is Brahma. The experiences are Brahma. Experience of paths of opposites are Brahma. Everything is Brahma. There's no second thing here. Everything is Brahma, means the entire universe is nothing but manifestation, appearance of Brahma. Whether this universe is manifested, it is still not outside of Brahma. Whether it is resolved, still it is not outside of Brahma. Yes, resolve as Ishvara Shakti, again manifest as Jagat. Whether manifested or unmanifested, the Jagat has no independent existence at all outside of Brahma. Therefore, the universe is not countable as a parallel reality, a second thing other than Brahma. We only say this mithya prapanchaha is nothing but satya brahmanaha rupam. Just appearance of Brahma. Brahman alone is in the form of mithya jagat. Satyam Brahma alone is in the form of mithya prapanchaha. Here all pronouns resolve. All words resolve, all objects, all beings, denoted by all pronouns resolve. Therefore, the first person singular pronoun, I also, has to resolve in this Brahman only. Therefore, what is that which is the swarupam of I? Definitely, I does not mean the gross elemental body or subtle elemental products, physiological functions, sense powers, karmendriyani or jnanendriyani, or even not even manaha, buddhi, chitta, not ahankara. I does not refer to anything known. I refers to the knower. And there is no knower other than the Atma, abstract reality. That abstract reality which is stumbled upon as the arrived as a swarup of the knower is Atma. And that Atma is Satyam. So here, it is that Atma arrived it in terms of its nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is in fact pure existence. Because being existent is the very nature of the abstract reality. Why is it existent? Being existent. Existence is the nature of the reality, which is actually of the nature of knowing. So we say jnanam and satyam. Otherwise you can say chit, the consciousness alone, is in the form of sat, the existence. Chit and sat are nothing but one and the same reality. Consciousness is the existence. Just as light is the existence enjoyed by every opaque thing, it is light which lends existence to the world of opaque things. Light alone is in the form of existence of every opaque thing. So also, it is pure consciousness which alone is in the form of existence enjoyed by every object. The pure consciousness as pure existence definitely is not an object of experience, is not an object of knowledge, not objectifiable, not experienceable, not even conceivable, not even describable. The pure consciousness is pure existence, being the very swarupam of the knower. Pure consciousness is pure existence. Pure existence is pure consciousness. They are not two. The pure existence obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, being the swarupam of the knower, can never be objectified, is not available for experience as an object. But still, it is the pure consciousness obtaining as pure existence is available for experience as manifested existence associated with any given object as the existence enjoyed by the object. That existence enjoyed by any object, every object, all the objects, everything here is Brahma, is Ishvara. The existence is always there. That existence has no beginning, no end, no change. It is one, it is indivisible, it is undivided, it is partless, whole. That is why Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his reply to the Purapakshi Shunyavadi, Karanam Maya is Mithya, Karyam Jagat is Mithya, Karya Karana Vilakshana Atma is Satyam, Atma Satya, Karya Karana Vilakshana Vilakshanam Chaitanyam. The chit, which is also sat, sat chit, atma is karya karana vilakshanaha, alone is satyam, absolutely real. It is that satchidatma. When I say consciousness existence in Sanskritam, we never say chit sat. Sat chit. That sat chit atma. The abstract reality the consciousness existence implied by the Tamatma, Satchidatma, which is distinct, which is neither the cause nor the effect, which is distinct from cause and effect, which is absolutely real, is always there. That which is there always is real. Satyam. It is Satchidatma is absolutely real. Not shunyam. Nothingness is not the reality. Satchidatma is the absolute reality. To make us understand this, he explained, in experiencing every object, we have two experiences. We do have twofold cognitions. The experience of the object is always along with unavoidably, it's always with experience of the existence of the object. The experienceable object is the existent object. The existent object is the object which enjoys existence. Therefore, an experience of an object is always along with the experience of the existence of the object. And that the existence enjoyed by the object, which is experienced, is real. Why? It is always there. It is undergoing a change. The experience of the object undergoes a change. It varies because objects vary, objects change, their experience of the objects also change. Whereas experience of the existence enjoyed by any object does not change. Therefore, he defined Sat and Asat. Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, defined Sat and Asat. We saw yesterday. Yasya anubhavaha na vyabhicharati. Yasya anubhavaha, I'm changing the words to make it simple. Yasya vastunaha anubhavaha na vyabhicharati tadvastu sat. That object that is real, the experience of which does not vary, does not change. Yasya anubhavaha vyabhicharati tad asat. Yasya anubhavaha na vyabhicharati tad sat. Yasya anubhavaha vyabhicharati tad asat. That is mithya, non-real, the experience of which undergoes a change. That is real, the experience of which does not change. Just because we do not pay attention to the experience of the existence, we do experience the existence. We do have the experience of the existence enjoyed by the object, but do not pay attention. Therefore, mistake there only one experience. I mean, we mistake an experience of a given object as a single experience. And mistake mithya to be satyam also. Mistake it to be what is as though to be real. That is existence. What the existence enjoyed by every object associated with every object is said to be manifested, experienced existence. But the same existence without being associated with the form and name is not recognizable, is not experienceable. If the existence has to be experienced, it must be associated with any given form and name, any object, as existence of the object, it is experienceable. Minus form and name, the existence is pure existence. Pure existence is pure consciousness. Pure existence is available for recognition as pure consciousness, as one's own swarupam. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, there's one beautiful line. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartagam bhasate. Yasya spuranam. Spuranam means the source of knowledge, the consciousness, the pure knowledge, pure consciousness, the swarupam of whom alone is in the form of Sat, the existence enjoyed by every object. Asat kalpa arthagam. Asat kalpa arthagam means what? The existence associated with every mithya object. Asat kalpa means mithya object. Puranam alone, the pure consciousness, pure knowledge alone, is sadatmakam, is in the form of existence, satatmakam, available for experience, as existence enjoyed by every mithya object. Therefore, what is the answer to the Purupakshi? Don't say there is nothingness. There is shunyam. Shunyam. No, there's no shunyam. There is Brahma. There is Atma. There is pure existence, which is pure consciousness, which you can understand, which alone is in the form of existence, enjoyed by the entire world of objects. So he answered Shunyavadi's question. Now we have to move on to the next negation of next doubt. Purupakshi comes with another question, other doubt. And Shankara Bhagavatpada has to clarify his doubt, negate his view, refute his view. Before we enter into that portion, I wanted to clarify one thing here. Very important. To understand the pure existence being pure consciousness. So we have to move on to the next step in the Bhashyam. Before we move on to that next Purapakshi's doubt and clarification, let us have this very clear understanding of what exactly is Atma Swarupam. How we can understand the Swarupam, the essential nature of one's own self. The truth of I, that which we should identify with. We use these terms, we hear these terms, not we use, we hear these terms in unfolding the nature of the self. Or in the unfoldment of the nature of the self. We come across these words. What are the words? Atma is Swayam Prakashaha. Swayam Prakasha Atma. What the translation of it? Atma is self-effulgent. Atma is self-revealing. Atma is self-evident. Self-effulgent, self-revealing. So this abstract, formless reality of the entire universe, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, implied by the term Atma, is ever of the nature of self-effulgence. Swayam Prakashaha. Swayam Prakasha Atma. So what does it mean? To understand, let me clarify this. Let us take the example of light and opaque thing. All up except light, everything here is opaque. Living beings, non-living things, everything is opaque here. An opaque thing is that which does not shine by itself. Tanaha ulirada porul. That which does not shine by itself. That which is dependent on some other light to come to light. That which is dependent on light to come to light. So whenever opaque thing shines, is available for experience, then it enjoys a status of being existent. An opaque thing is said to be existent only when it shines. Well, if it has to shine, it must be illumined. For the opaque thing to be illumined, there must be illumination. If there has to be illumination, there must be illuminator. And the illuminator, of course, if you go and search for the illuminator, who is the illuminator? Who is the illuminator? We understand illuminator is just the word. It's a mere qualification, temporary qualification, title, attributed to the light. There's no illuminator other than the light. Light has this qualification of being the illuminator from the standpoint of the illumined opaque thing. The illuminate swarupam of the illuminator is light. There's no illuminator at all. Just the light is. But illuminator is the title given to the light from the standpoint of the illumination which is possible because of the light. From the standpoint of the illumined opaque thing, illuminator is the qualification attributed to the light. Therefore, whenever, wherever, or any opaque thing shines, it is illumined, is experienced. In experiencing any opaque thing, what is simultaneously experienced along with the opaque thing is light. What is experienced along with the experience of the opaque object is light. In experiencing any opaque thing, we have two experiences. Yet simultaneously, we have two experiences. Experience of the light and experience of the opaque thing. It's impossible to experience an opaque thing without the experience of the light. Now, there is experiencer light and experienced opaque thing. We have experience of the light and the experience of the opaque thing. These two experiences, what is the position of the light? Light is an object of illumination or subject of illumination. Tell me. You have to think for yourself. Even though we have two experiences simultaneously, the experience of light, the illumining light, and the experience of the illumined opaque thing. Of course, opaque thing is, let us take this verb illumines, and this illumination. Of course, opaque thing is definitely an object of illumination. Doubtlessly, opaque thing is an object of illumination. What is the position of the light? Light is simultaneously experienced. Still, light is what? Experienced light. The illuminator light the light is still light is the subject of illumination. the experienced light is a subject of illumination. Experienced opaque thing is object of illumination. The experienced light along with the experience of the opaque thing is a subject of illumination. And the opaque thing is object of illumination. So light is not dependent on the opaque thing to come to light. Because light is of the nature of illumining. Light is self-luminous. Light is not dependent on similar light to come to light. From the standpoint of opaque thing, light is self-luminous. Light is self-revealing, self-luminous. Light is subject of illumination. Opaque thing is object of illumination. Opaque thing is dependent. The subject of illumination. Light which is looked upon as subject of illumination from the standpoint of the illumined opaque object is satyam. Because it is not dependent on the opaque thing. Let us extend this to understand Atma. At least this light and opaque thing is a very gross, highly gross example. Now we have to really understand the most abstract fact. In every experience of any material object, of course the object is material only. When you say object, it is material. We don't need to say material object. Pujya Swami used to hate unnecessarily using adjectives. We don't need to say material object. Object means material only. So in experiencing every object, we know now very clearly, doubtlessly, we do have two experiences. In every single experience of a single object, we have two experiences simultaneously. One is what? The experience of the object. Experience of the existence enjoyed by the object. That existence enjoyed by the object is the existence of the knower. Existence enjoyed by the opaque thing is existence of the illuminator light. Similarly, existence enjoyed by an object is existence of the knower consciousness. Existence enjoyed by the object is nothing but the existence of the knower consciousness. And who is knower? Are knower and consciousness two factors? No. There's no knower at all. There's only consciousness. There's only abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing. The knower is just a temporary qualification attributed to the formless abstract reality. consciousness, or pure knowledge, from the standpoint of the known object. Therefore, the existence of knower consciousness is in the form of existence of the known object. There is no knower other than consciousness. Therefore, that knower knows, because knowing is the swarupam. So here the known object is dependent on the knower consciousness for its existence. Whereas I simply add the word knower, the consciousness obtaining as the knower, conscious, the abstract reality, the pure knowledge, pure consciousness, having the qualification of knower, is not dependent on the object for its existence. Object is dependent on the knower to become the known, thereby to have the existence, to become existent. Whereas consciousness cannot be known by anything. Consciousness is of the nature of knowing. This is what is said to be. Just as light is self-luminous, here is abstract, formless reality is of the nature of knowing, therefore said to be of the nature of self-effulgence. Self-effulgence. The very experience is possible because of the experiencer consciousness. Because of whose knowledge you are seeing in the light of the nature of consciousness, the pure knowledge, you see the object. What is that light? What is that? Because of whose presence you are seeing the Atma? You see the light because of the light, and you see the opaque thing because of the light. You know the object because of the knower consciousness. You know the Atma because of the knower Atma. This is what is said to be self-effulgence. Atma, the abstract formless reality, is ever of the nature of self-effulgence, self-revealing. Swayam Prakashaha. Swayam Jyotihi. It is this pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness, implied by the term Atma, is exist, pure existence. There's no pure existence other than consciousness. Don't go and search for a pure existence outside of, other than consciousness. Consciousness is pure existence. Pure existence is pure consciousness or pure awareness or pure knowledge. Sadeva chit, chideva sat. And it is Satchidatma alone is in the form of existence of everything in the world, existence of the world. When you say Jagat Asti, Jagat Bhati, what you are inevitably, unavoidably experiencing along with the Jagat, in the form of Jagat, is the existence of the Jagat, which is Brahma, which is Ishvara. That existence enjoyed by every object is what? Brahma is pure knowledge, the pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is pure existence, which alone is in the form of manifested knowledge and manifested existence. Pujya Swamiji used to say, you open your eyes in the morning, wake up from sleep. From that time, until you fall asleep, you see Bhagavan, you see only Brahma in the form of Jagat. You fall asleep, you see the Jagat again, remaining resolved in Brahma. There's only Brahma. Just, you have to see the meaning of the word self-effulgence, self-revealing. We'll continue tomorrow, next week. Okay? Because a new topic begins. The Bhashyam. The whole thing I want to clarify today. If any doubt based on what is said today, you can text me. I'll clarify it. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.